Yes, sir.
Don't y'all think I forgot about the scooter? So I'm gonna be back right when he finished.
This guy. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Amen, amen. Let's get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the scriptures. Father, we just thank you for this day, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it and show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous life. We thank you for our apostle, and we thank you, Lord God, for the apostolic covering that's on this house and that's on our lives. And we just thank you, Lord God, that as we get into your word, we'll learn how to properly honor our men and women of God so that we can sustain a legacy of excellence in our lives and in our ministries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. What I'm going to do today, where we left off the last class session in about the middle of December, one of the things I talked about, we were talking about Noah and Noah's three sons, and we talked right towards the end about Ham and how Ham dishonored his father. And because of that, one of the things that was stated, sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after you. It can affect your children, your children's children, and it will cut off the generational blessing in your legacy. It'll cut off the generational blessing in your family legacy or lineage when you dishonor. And as we know, Ham dishonored his father. But what we're going to be looking at now, not so much just a natural father, but a spiritual father. Because when you disrespect your natural father, there's consequences, your natural parents. But when you disrespect spiritual authority, there's even greater consequences, because natural disrespect for a father and a mother may cause you to pave your road real hard in life. But spiritual disrespect and dishonor for a spiritual man or woman of God could cut your life short and make your ministry be cut off. Amen. So, like I said, we're going to use Ham as a jumping point to look at some other aspects. But one of the last things we stated that the ministry, when you dishonor as Ham did, the ministry won't develop. It won't develop a generational seed. Seed sown in dishonor will cause the generations not to increase. Amen. Okay, so now what we want to do, what we want to initially begin to start to talk about is how to build honor. We've talked about instances where people disrespected and how they sowed seeds of honor. But one of the things we want to talk about in the weeks to come is how to build honor. Honor grows generations. And when I say generations, I'm talking about, sons and daughters that come after you. Spiritual sons and daughters that come after you. Honor grows generations. So when you show honor and you have an honor seed, the generations are empowered to prosper. Generational legacy is blessed. When you sow seeds of dishonor, the generational legacy is cut off. And when we say cut off, that means that it's when you cut off something, when you cut off a branch off of a tree, initially, the part that you cut off may look identical to the part that's connected to the tree. The leaves look the same, but immediately that branch that's cut off begins to die. You know, it may take hours or days before you begin to see the withering effect, but it will wither and it will die. So when you sow a seed of dishonor, your generations start to die. They won't produce. They won't produce spiritual babies. They won't. You won't see increase in your ministry. And one of the things I want the students to understand, you know, and I recognize not everybody is called to be a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. But in some aspect in your life, you work in ministry. Something that you do, whether you on the praise team, whether you're a greeter, whether you're an usher, whether you just operate in some media capacity or whatever that might be, you know, that's ministry. Because what you're doing, you're undergirding your man and your woman of God to help fulfill the vision that God's called them to. And you have to see that as being ministry, because you are help paving the way to see millions of people come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and however small you might think it is, somebody has to fulfill that role. And one of the things I want to talk about a little bit today, too, is not dropping your assignment. You see, you dishonor your man and your woman of God when you drop an assignment. You know, when you, I don't have time to do it. It's not my makeup to do such and such. Whenever I'm given an assignment, I try to stick with my assignment until it's finished or until I get another assignment, or they put somebody else in that position and it says, we want you to start doing this now. Because, you know, God requires, the Bible says, as stewards, it is required of us to be faithful. Faithful means diligent, means loyal, means sticking with something and seeing it to its completion. Amen. All right, let's move on. Proverbs 26. Well, open up your Bibles and let's go to Genesis. Well, we already talked about that. We talked about Noah. But anyway, just to read it, Genesis chapter 9, verse 24, it's talking about Noah, how Noah awoke from the wine, and he knew what his younger son had done, and he cursed Cana. Now, what I wanted to point out there, Ham actually was the one that committed the sin by exposing his father's nakedness, but he didn't necessarily curse Ham. He cursed Ham's lineage. He cursed Cana because Ham was the father of Cana. So his lineage or his legacy, those people who came behind him, fell into that curse because of his disobedience and dishonor to his father. So not only is disobedience, will it affect you, but it's going to affect everybody that comes down the line after you from a spiritual perspective and a physical perspective. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:2, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, a curse or a generational curse doesn't happen just out of the blue. There's always a reason why the curse that comes upon a legacy or comes upon a family or a ministry or an individual is something that you have done that affects, that caused that curse to come. There's always a reason why generations of people's legacy are cut off and fall under the curse. Honor grows generations. Now, this is very important. Honor grows generation of blessings upon your legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. When a man is castrated, he can't have any more children. Dishonor will castrate you spiritually. In other words, your ministry won't blossom. You won't reach your full potential in the anointing that God might have had for your life. The gifts and the callings that God might have placed upon you won't never develop. You know, if you ever put a yesterday, the apostle talked a little bit about baking a cake, and if you don't have no flour or if you don't have no yeast in it, it'll never rise. Well, when you dishonor and walk in dishonor, it's like baking a cake with no flour or no yeast. It'll never rise. It'll never come to its fullness because it gets cut off. It gets cut off at the vine, and we don't want to do that. Honor, as I stated earlier, grows generation of blessings upon legacy, while sowing seeds of dishonor will castrate generational destiny. Anytime a person sows a seed against their legacy, their inheritance from their spiritual father, their ability to possess the future is cut off. One of the things that you want from a spiritual father is his blessing upon your life, so that now you can take up where he left off and continue to carry the baton to the next stage or to the next level. As a parent, one of the greatest things that your children can do in areas of honoring you is to take what you have taught them and advance it to another level. One thing my dad always taught me, he says, I expect you to go further in life than I did, because I'm pouring all that I have in you. And as you learn from my mistakes and the trials that I came from a house that had an outhouse, you know, that all the men, all the boys slept in the same room and all the girls slept in the same room. There was no air condition. The only heating they had was the fireplace. And once the wood went out at midnight, you just had to cuddle up until the morning, you know. So he said, I expect you to carry, you know, my name and what I have accomplished further, because I'm giving you a better opportunity. Your spiritual father, what he wants from you, he wants you to take what he has taught you and bring it to another level and continue to take that baton and actually exceed what he has done. That's showing honor. Because you're saying, I learned the lessons. It's not going to take me as long, because you've already, once the row is plowed, all you got to do is stay in the groove. I don't know where it was. I was somewhere a couple of days ago, and I was talking about a tractor. And I remember my uncle, he had a farm. And they would be going with that tractor, that John Deere tractor, in the woods. And he would tell me whenever I drove it, he said, you want to stay in the groove, because you had two big tires in the back and two little tires in the front, and it'd be muddy. And if you stay, if you got off that groove, it might even throw you off in the woods somewhere, because it didn't have power steering. But if you stayed in the groove, you know, you could almost let it go, because it'll just keep going in that groove, you know. And that's so very important that we stay in the vein, in the groove of our spiritual father. You know, the things that he's taught us, the things that we've learned, we build upon that foundation. We continue to take it to another level. Amen. Sometimes we have ministries or leaders that disqualify themselves. And when they do so, their ministries become crippled. How do you disqualify yourself? You disqualify yourself by some people just ditch their spiritual father. Well, I don't need to follow you anymore. You know, God set that up. In the book of Malachi, it talks about, you know that God was sending the spirit of Elijah, and that you know, he's going to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, and the hearts of the children and the hearts of the fathers to their children, lest I send a curse into the earth. Let's go there. The Malachi, the last book in the New Testament. I want you to see that with your own eyes. And it's really the last verse in Malachi. So turn with me to the book of Malachi. If you can find Matthew's, is one book over. You'd be in Malachi in the Old Testament. And I think it's the last two verses. Yeah. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. When I read that and God began to give me a revelation of that, it just blew me away. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. He says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, And think about the spirit of Elijah, because in the New Testament, it talks about how he's going to come in the spirit of Elijah. In other words, Elijah was a man bold and powerful and moved with God and heard God's voice and followed God's command. He says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Verse 6, "And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So in these last days, God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that's why you hear more and more about spiritual fathers and men who've taken their place, because God has placed something on the inside of them that they need to deposit into their spiritual children. Because there's something about a father in a home. Every home needs a father. That man and that daughter needs that father figure there to look up for stability and for strength. Now, I know there's been women who raised their children without fathers, and they've done an admirable job by doing so. But when you have both parents and you have that father figure, that's where the impartation, that's where the legacy is transferred through the male seed, through the male. You know, that generational blessing is there. And so here in this scripture says, "I will turn the hearts of the fathers." That's fathers now acknowledging that they are fathers, and they're taking on spiritual children, nurturing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, instructing them in the way of righteousness, feeding them and equipping them to go and to do where it says to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. See, it's one thing to know that verse, but it's another thing to be able to go out and accomplish it and accomplish it with wisdom, you know, and with revelation knowledge, and not just giving it lip service, but with signs and wonders and manifestations and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's when you begin to see results. Amen. And that's what a spiritual father imparts through revelation knowledge, through wisdom and insight. Amen. Amen. All right. Now let's look at how to sow honor. We want to look now in 1 Chronicles. You can turn with me in your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. We're going to look at Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And we're going to see that even though you can be honorable, you can also be more honorable. All right. As 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because he was born in sorrow. And Jabez called upon God of Israel and said, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be upon me, or might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that thou may, that the evil may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he had requested." So here we see Jabez, number one, he was more honorable. And one of the things we want to point out, he said that his mother bore him in sorrow. And in one translation says she bore him in much pain. Jabez never knew his father. And the author talks about how, you know, Jabez may have been raised up in the slums, and he might have had a hard life and without having that father figure that we talked about. But even so, he never did ditch his mother. He never did disrespect his mother. He honored his mother, you know, and he did so more so than his brethren, because he said he was more honorable than his brethren. And because of that, the scripture says Jabez's brothers were honorable, but the scripture said that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The scripture also tells us his mother, you know, named him, you know, Jabez, meaning that one born in sorrow, one that caused me much pain. Despite that, the fact that Jabez was born in sorrow and was probably raised up in the slums, he never complained. He never disrespected his mother. Instead, he showed more honor to his mother than the brothers and he respected his mother for being a life source. And we talked about that last semester. Someone who imparts and nourish and gives life. Anyone that nourishes you and that nourishes you physically or spiritually and imparts life into you, they are life source, because all life comes from God, because he is life. And so it says, in fact, Jabez showed more honor than his brethren because he was honorable. Okay, he wasn't more honorable because he prayed the prayer. You know, he wasn't more honorable because he didn't have a father. He was more honorable because he showed honor to his mother. And God granted him his request because of the fact that he showed honor to his mother. And see, that prayer said that, you know, that you would enlarge my coast. Okay, that your hand might be with me, and that thou shouldest keep me from evil. You know, he goes on to say that it may not grieve me. And God granted what he requested him. You see, when you show honor, the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. When you show honor to whom honor is due, well, then honor is going to be reciprocated back to you. God's going to begin to bless you because now you are being a blessing, or you are showing honor. And there's a reciprocation that takes place because of sowing honor. Even though he had a legitimate cause to be bitter and to be angry and to renounce his mother and to denounce her because of a hard life, instead, he showed honor. And by doing so, God blessed him. The Bible says God granted Jabez what he had requested because of the seeds of honor that he showed. God would and bless him indeed and enlarge his coast. Okay, what I want to do now, well, first of all, getting back to spiritual fathers and getting back to honor. In my years of ministry, I've seen people who have found their spiritual father, but, you know, just like my natural father has gone home to be with the Lord, but there was never a time in my life that he was never my natural father. You know, all the years of his life, I respected him as my father. I never turned my back on my father. You know, I never denounced my father, and most people don't, you know. But what people don't understand, spiritual things are more relative even than physical things. So why would you denounce your spiritual father? Why would you turn your back or not respect and honor and give him what's rightfully due him because of the position that he holds, you know? And I recognize I'm really preaching to the choir, because, you know, just by the fact that you're here lets me know that you know how to honor and how to serve. But as ministers of the gospel, as those who work in the ministry of helps, you're going to be able to now to help those who are in that, I guess, what you would call it, area where they're undecided about why I need to do, you know, what does it really take all of this? Do I really have to sow? Do I really have to be at the church on Wednesdays? Do I really have to, you know, when my man of God says turn around three times, do I really have to do that? Do I really have to go through all, you know, does it really take all of this? Well, if you want to be blessed, yes. You know, when you obey the prophet and the man of God, the apostolic anointing, well, then the blessings of God is going to come upon your life. You know, God honors obedience. You know, the Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You know, we need to obey. And a lot of times we may not even understand. Lord, I, you know, whenever I don't understand something, One of the ways of building honor we're going to probably touch on towards the end of the lesson is wisdom. When I don't understand something, Lord, give me wisdom. I need some clarity here. There's things that we're studying now about the soul. I have to say, Lord, give me wisdom, because I'm having to rethink a lot of things that I've been taught over the years. So, Lord, I thank you for wisdom, you know, because wisdom is the principal thing, you know. But we have to make sure that we, like I said, as ministers and as people in the ministry of helps, that we know how to, that we're being equipped so that we can equip others and instruct them the importance of showing honor. Amen. All right. What I want to do now is I want to look at a perfect example of somebody who honored their father. And the most perfect example of someone who honored their father was Jesus. Amen. Bottom line. Okay. We're going to look at Hebrews. If you want to, you can turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, verses 5 and 7. We're going to look at Jesus as being a perfect example of honor towards his father. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5, and we may go to verse 9. It'll be a couple of verses. Let's see. It says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world," it's talking about Jesus, "he said, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure." Then verse 7 says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Jesus, now this is me. Jesus came to earth to do the will of the Father, not his own will. Many times ministries have their own agendas, men and women of God. Instead of picking up the agenda of their spiritual father, instead of picking up the agenda of their pastor, they have ulterior motives and their own agendas. Jesus did not have no other agenda. He said, "I only do what I see the Father do." You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, one of the things I was talking to my wife the other day, I never forget when I first joined the church, and I was up around the pulpit after church talking to the apostles. This was back in the old church, 24 years ago, somewhere like that. He pointed out a man who said that he sat on the end. He said, "You see the man that sit on that seat on the end?" He said, "He's here every day early. His seat is not reserved for him. And he respects and he honors me." You know, he said, "Watch him and use him as an example." And one of the things I never forget, he would always say, "If you don't want the apostle to know something, don't tell me. Because if you tell me, I'm telling." You know, and I've learned, just, you know, and that's just one incident, you know, of hey, if it's wrong and you tell me, I'm spilling my beans, you know. But at the same time, I've watched people, you know, and this individual, when work needed to be done, when I never forget one time a curtain fell in the children's church, and they were having it was the last day of a camp meeting that we had, a summer camp meeting, and the kids were going to have a stomp competition, and the sound system wasn't working right, and a lot of things was going on. It's just at 5 minutes, 10 minutes before we were supposed to start, and I wanted to be in the main sanctuary, but they gave me an assignment to be in the youth building, which is really now is a children's church, but to work the sound and the lighting, and it was like when you turn the sound up too loud, the breaker would throw and the lights would go out, so you couldn't turn the sound too loud. So it was a happy medium, you know. And then all of a sudden, the curtains behind the wall fell, and everybody looked around, and all of a sudden, this gentleman who sat on that end row came running in. He took off his coat. He said, "Go get me a ladder, go get me a wrench, go get me a hammer." He climbs up and starts, you know, and the next thing I know, I'm on a ladder up there with him, you know. And initially my heart was to really be in the service where the apostle was preaching, but my assignment was right there. And when the curtains first fell, I'm saying, "I don't know if this, you know, this gonna go over," because, you know, but as I watched him put all his energy, all his effort into getting this thing done, taking off his coat. He was in the main sanctuary. But now, hey, the show got to go on. In other words, the ministry has to go on. That start to encourage me. You know, I'm starting to get fired up now. Yeah, I think it's going to work. I think, you know. And so once we got the curtain back up, I went back over to the sound system. I said, you know, PA, you know, amp, soundboard, you're going to work properly. Lights, you're not going out. And I was able to crank up that PA and that sound system. Matter of fact, some of the youth was telling me, turn it down, Mr. Calhoun. It's too loud. I said, I thought y'all liked it loud. You know, but, you know, all of a sudden, everything just fell into place. You know, and the reason why I shared that so extensively was because God's going to use you as an encouragement to other people, you know, and that's why these classes are so important, because you're learning things and you're experiencing things, you know, that you're going to be able to take the torch and carry it on to other people so that they can show honor and that they can demonstrate honor. Okay, let's move on. I don't remember where I was. We were talking about Jesus, and I was reading from Hebrews, Hebrews 10. And basically, if you look at Hebrews 10 and 9, it says, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. That was his sole purpose, to do the will of the Father. Let me look at my time. Good. Okay. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Turn that with me in your Bibles. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And for the sake of time, I'm going to just start reading. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus brought, I'm just paraphrasing some things here. Jesus brought glory to the Father by going to the cross, because his ultimate destiny was to die on the cross for our sins and to pay the penalty for sin, that he might be risen in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. So Jesus said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. You bring glory to God. Listen up. You bring glory to God when you honor God by fulfilling his will. You bring glory to God when you honor God by fulfilling his will for your life. You know, there's no other way. That's the main way that you bring glory to God. By you glorify God by honoring him, by fulfilling God's will for your life. And that's something we all want to do. Okay, verse 2 says, this is we're back in John chapter 17. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And this is life eternal, that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And that's what you want to be able to say, Lord, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And however long it takes, and it's going to take your whole life, you know, because we want Jesus, you want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But here Jesus said, I have finished. I have done what you have called me to do. You know, and you see, that's the reason why God in Philippians chapter 2 was able to say, Jesus, I'm highly exalting you, because you have done the will and you've carried out my will and my plan and my purpose for you. Okay, let's go there. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Excuse me. Philippians chapter 2. But before we go there, I want to make a statement. The greatest seed, listen up, the greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. And one way to show honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing and having physical manifestations from the spiritual truths that your heavenly father has taught, and passing those truths on to others. I'm going to read that again. and we stated this from the very beginning of the class last semester, that the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. And then I said one way to show honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing and having physical manifestations, you know, in your own life from the spiritual truths that your father has taught. And then taking those spiritual truths and passing it on to other people, because that's what we're designed to do, is to take what we learn, get manifestations in our life. Because see, one of the things and the reason why people are going to listen to you is because they see evidence. When you know, you cannot deny evidence. When you see people prospering, when you see people healthy, and you see people walking in the peace of God, you know, and there's evidence, well, then now you can take what God has placed in you and you can share it with other people. That's showing honor to your man and your woman of God, because you're reproducing what they have already produced in you. You know, a seed will always reproduce after his own kind. Listen up. A seed will always reproduce after his own kind. When the seed and the revelation knowledge that's being imparted into you, well, then you can't but help reproduce after your own kind, because that's what you've been taught. That's, you know, getting back to physical, you know, the physical aspect of it. My daughter looks just like me. My son looks just like my wife. Why is that? Because of genetics. Okay. So we should have the same spiritual attributes as our spiritual father. We should have the same results. Why? Because we have the same DNA, the building blocks of spiritual life. DNA, you know, even in the natural, DNA are the building blocks. The grassroots of how, you know, genetics is, and the makeup of a person, their hair color, their complexion, you know, who they are. When you have the DNA of your spiritual father, you're going to reproduce and you're going to show forth the same attributes that you see in him or her. Amen. All right. Okay, I said Philippians. Now, we talked about Jesus as being the perfect example of one who showed honor. So what we're going to do now, we're going to see, because of his showing honor in that degree, what God did in his behalf because of his faithfulness and obedience to God. It says in Philippians 2, verse 5, and we're going to go down to about verse 11. It says, I'm reading from the Amplified, so it's going to read a little differently than the King James or the New King James Version. It says, let this mind or this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you. Now, I like the word humble. You know, it said, let this mind which is in Christ be also in you, or this humble mind in you, which was in Christ. Let him be your example of humility. That's what the Amplified Bible says. Who thought it, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and all the attributes which made God God, did not think it being equal with God as was something to be eagerly grasped or just obtain. In other words, just to latch onto and just to keep for himself. But the Bible says that Jesus stripped himself. When you strip yourself, you take off your rings. He took off his royal robe and his royal sandals, and he took off that glory that surrounded him. And he laid all that at the right hand. He left it there at the altar in the throne of God. So he stripped himself of all privileges, all rights, full dignity. So he to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like a man and was born as a human being. Okay, so he can walk the earth. Jesus became a man so that he can touch death for every man. You know, so that Bible says that he, you know, could have the same passions or the, you know, the same hurts that we feel, that he's able to feel. He says, but at the same time, he was victorious in everything. Okay, going on, it says, and after that, he appeared in human form. He abased himself and humbled himself still further. Now, he already came down from deity to being a man, but now he's humbled himself even further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God highly exalted him and it gave him a name that's above every name. So here we see Jesus, because of his humility and his love and his obedience to his Father, God was able to bless him and put him in the highest position of the universe because of his honor to his Father. You know, a perfect example of honor, a perfect example of service, you know, and that's where we need to see ourselves. Lord, you never want to let go of your assignment. Know the will of God for your life. You know, a lot of people say, well, I know God wants to use me, but I'm not really sure in what capacity. You know, the Bible says to be still and know that he's God. You know, and I tell people, whatever you find your hands to do in the ministry, get involved. You know, and as you get involved, God's going to begin to show you and begin to mold you and shape you. Because the Bible says that he's the potter and you're the clay. And when you become humble, you know, when you become pliable. Now, people who are hard-headed, and you know, I always use the illustration of Plato. As long as Plato was kept in the box and the air didn't hit it, you can take it out, you can mold it and shape it into any form or fashion that you want it. But you don't want it to get hard, because now is you can't fashion it. You know, you always want your spirits to stay sensitive and soft towards the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that God can mold you and shape you for his glory. That's so very important, to stay sensitive, to stay pliable, to stay soft, you know, harden not your heart. Because when your heart begins to get hard, then all of a sudden now your own way begin to come out. Instead of you allowing him to guide you, now you're going in another direction, you know, opposite of what God wants you to do. That's not going to bring glory to God. What we want to do is to bring glory to God, you know, and God always uses men, put them in a position of authority over us so that we have an example before us. And as we begin to flow in what God has blessed us with and serve properly, well, then God now is able to bless us. Okay, listen to this. It was because Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will that caused God to exalt him. Because of his humility, because of Jesus humbling himself to do God's will, God was able to exalt him. Amen? All right. We want to look at now, and I'm just kind of started today because I only have about 8 minutes left, but we're going to be looking at ways, like I said, of building honor. Jabez was an example of building honor on an individual level. But we're going to be looking at, you know, ways of building honor in ministry, honor in a greater degree. And I already kind of stated it. But one of the first ways to build honor is to walk in wisdom. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. In Proverbs 3 and verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. It says, she is more precious than rubies, and all that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Now, verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Now, that's talking about wisdom. See, when you walk in wisdom, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. So wisdom will bring you, will satisfy you with long life, with riches, and you're going to walk in honor. But there are qualifications for that. You know, you got to ask God for wisdom. You know, wisdom don't come automatically. You got to hunger. There's got to be a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. Just standing around is not going to, God's not, you know, you're not going to get everything God has for you. You got to learn how to dive into the river, dive in and with no restraints. Lord, I just want you. I want to serve you. I want to be all that you want me to be. And by doing that, you have to desire God just as much as you desire the next breath that you take. And really, we take that breath for granted because air is plentiful. But if you, I never forget on my job, I don't do it anymore, but we used to go through what they call fire training. And they'd put us in a smokehouse. And they put a 30-minute bottle on us. And the house, they put a little smoke bomb in there. And you had to feel your way around the room to get to the exit. And a lot of times the bottle didn't have 30 minutes of air. Depending on how big you were and how much oxygen you were sucking up is how quickly you're going to run out of air. You know, so a 30-minute bottle, a big man like me might last 15 minutes. I know Jesse knew what I'm talking about. But all of a sudden, you're going around the room feeling, and they always say stay to either the right or the left. And you just follow the wall until you find your way out because you're actually doing search and rescue. And all of a sudden, with about 5 minutes left, that bell started ringing. Bling, bling, bling. So you know, oh, I'm not out, and I need to hurry up and get to the exit. And so all of a sudden, that air becomes precious to you, because if you pull that mask off, you're in the middle of smoke, and you can't breathe smoke. You know, you can't. It just won't work. You know, but the air becomes precious to you, because you know it's your lifeline. When you hunger and thirst after God like you would every breath of air, or if you ever swam and went down deep in the water and all of a sudden you begin to run out of oxygen in your lungs and you're trying to make it to the top. And the minute you make it to that air becomes precious to you. Well, you see, when God becomes as precious to you as that air that you breathe, that you know you need, then you're going to begin to know the goodness of God. You know, you're going to begin to say, Lord, I hunger and thirst after you, you know, as a deer pants after air. You know, do I hunger and thirst after you? And that's so very important. But wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. We want to hunger and thirst and ask God for wisdom. The first thing that we want to pray for in developing honor is, Lord, give me wisdom. You know, wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Then it says in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and he would give it thee. You know, Lord, you know, in everything that you do, you want to ask God for wisdom, because wisdom will bring you to honor. Wisdom, when you embrace wisdom, wisdom will bring you to honor, because that's one of the attributes of wisdom. It says here, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8 says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee and bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. When you embrace wisdom, it's gonna bring you to honor. I got about 2 minutes left. So say, how do I embrace wisdom? When you read the word and ask God, Lord, give me understanding, give me revelation, you know, and how can I apply what I'm reading to my life and to be a blessing to other people, to be a blessing to my man of God, to serve at a greater capacity. You know, God's going to give you wisdom. You know, I think it was, I might be wrong. I don't know if was it David? Somebody, God says, you know, what would you want me to give to you? And he said, to give me an understanding heart that I might serve thy people. Solomon, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, David's son. Okay. You know, see, that's when God can really open himself up to you, because you're desiring what he wants, not what you want. It's not your agenda. Lord, Solomon says, give me wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom to how to serve the people, God also gave him the riches. You see, so that it brings you to honor and to riches. Amen. So wisdom is the principal thing, and it will bring you to honor. Amen. All right. We're going to continue there from next week on. You guys be blessed.